Welcome to First Baptist Church. We're glad to have you here for Youth Sunday. Please stand and join us in the call to worship. Gracious God, you've turned your face earthward and opened your heart to your children. We turn to the one who breathes life within us, renewing our hearts and souls. We turn to the one who kindles a flame of sacred love in our cold hearts. We turn to the one who cleanses and comforts us, blesses and saves us. Let us turn to God and worship together. Turn to page 225, Standing on the Promises. Sovereign Lord, Father of all, and the power of the Spirit, you know our faults and you promise to forgive. Keep us in your presence and give us wisdom. Open our hearts to gladness. Call dry bones to dance. And restore us, and restore to us the joy of your salvation. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever, as we continue to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. Thy is the kingdom, the power, and glory forever. Amen.
We do welcome you to our worship service today, and we are happy because this is Youth Sunday, and springtime came, and the two go hand in hand, and we are glad that you're here, and we welcome you. There are some things we should be aware of in the life of the church. First, I guess, the first thing to mention is that this is the last Sunday that we will have Sunday school until the fall, and so we change to our summer hours beginning next Sunday, which means 10 o'clock worship. So if you come at 10:45 for worship, you'll get here in the middle of things. Also be aware that today is the deadline for the newsletter. And of course, because this is Youth Sunday, this is the day in which we celebrate with an all-church picnic after worship in the fellowship hall, and we are ready for that, and we invite everyone to come and be a part of that time that we share together. You can look in your bulletin to see the other announcements. We want to make sure that we sign up for the volunteer opportunities, which there are fewer of now because it's summertime. Fellowship time in Panera. Take a look at those when you get the chance. Of course, we won't be having our fellowship time after the service today proper because we're going to go downstairs and have a picnic together. You can see the other things, the meal train for the Turners and that. Are there other announcements that we should make at this time? It's our privilege at this time of the year to celebrate sort of growing up of things. And one of the things we like to do is to give a Bible once we get to a certain age to our children. And this year, it's Taylor Trigg's turn. So Taylor, if you'll come forward, we have a Bible to give to you. You don't have to sit down. You can stand up right here. That's for the children's message later on. Thought you might like all the flowers and the color, but I hope that you have a wonderful life of reading the Bible and learning about Jesus and learning about God.
Thank you.
God bless you. And you can have the box if you like. It's also our tradition to give a gift to the graduates. And we have some graduates this year. Unfortunately, some of them are unable to be here. My son Evan graduated last Sunday afternoon, which was Mother's Day, with a Master's of Chemical Engineering at the University of Missouri. And also his fiance, whose name is Devin Gardner, graduated from Veterinary College there at Mizzou. So that was a time of celebration for our family. Emily Bowman, who, as you can see, is the daughter of Liz and Bruce Bowman and the granddaughter of Ann and Jim Brown. She graduated from the University of Miami here in Ohio. And Colin Ferguson graduated from Hayes High School. Now, the gift that we ordinarily give is a book, and I selected this year a book called My Utmost for His Highest, which is an old book of devotions from 100 years ago by Oswald Chambers. But it's probably the most widely read book of devotions. It's sold millions and millions and millions and millions of copies over the last 100 years. And he wrote them for college students because he was a sort of a college minister. And so I thought that would be a nice gift in the hope that our graduates, when they get around to it, might spend a year reading and reflecting upon these devotions. So I'll have one for Colin. We can get that after the worship service. And also, today is a day that we celebrate with David. Now, David, I'm going to ask you to come up here because you're here. Not only did David just graduate from seminary, or actually you haven't graduated yet. It's Saturday. With a Master of Divinity and a Master of Theological Studies degree. So there will be two degrees for David. But also, we're also celebrating the 2 years that David has spent with us as our pastoral intern, which will be coming to an end here next month, probably at the end of June. So we wanted to recognize David for the time that he has spent with us and to thank him for it and to wish him well. And you'll notice that there are some things downstairs in acknowledgement of that celebration. But we also have a gift for you, and first of all, we have a card for you. And I got you A Year with C.S. Lewis. It's also a book of devotions. But it's a book of devotions that's meaningful to me, and I hope that it will be meaningful to you also. Thank you. Our song of praise this morning is Awesome God, which is, I think, the ones the youth picked out today. And we'll sing twice through this morning, number 2040 in The Faith We Sing.
Reading this morning is from Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the words of the Lord. This is what the Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded, and I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in him. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to breath, prophesy to breathe, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the Lord says, come, breathe from the four winds and breathe into these twain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded to me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the Lord says, my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord."
Go ahead. Yes, Mama. Father, as we lay before you our financial offering, we give you all that we are and everything that you have entrusted to us. Come bless these gifts for the sake of your kingdom and glory. Amen.
Okay, we'll do our children's moment this morning. Will the children come forward?
So, I brought something that I like to eat sometimes. You guys know what these are?
Skittles.
M&M's. M&M's, yep. So. So, these represent us and everybody. So, if I'm going to open a green M&M, is it going to be green chocolate?
No.
If I open a red M&M, is it going to be red chocolate?
No.
Okay, so can you guys bite in half one of your M&Ms? Brown. It's all the same, right?
Right.
So that's how God sees us. He sees our hearts the same. And he sees everything about us the same. It doesn't matter what we look like, what race, ethnicity we are. He all sees us the same. Right?
Right.
Okay. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for loving us and seeing us all the same. And knowing that we have your love in our hearts. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Gabe. I meant to say earlier that Colin Ferguson will be attending Bowling Green. I didn't say that. But that's where he will be attending college in the fall, and we'll be prayerful for him as he goes away. Are there other concerns or praises that you would like to share with the congregation today?
We've had Alec Porter on our prayer list for several weeks now, who was in hospice care, and I received word this week that he died several weeks ago. But thank you for your prayers.
Yesterday, the choir band and Focus Shop and Symphony Parade went to Music in the Park at Cedar Point, and they did very well, and they all came back with awards, so I'm happy for them.
Last week, our sister-in-law and his grandma fell and broke her femur. She had to have surgery. She's still in the hospital. Probably will have to go into rehab for a couple weeks. And my brother is not in real good shape, so now he's at home, along with their son, who's not in very good shape either. So Brennan's mommy's been having to kind of take care of everything in the situation. So just keep them in your prayers.
It was a joy for the men to show up yesterday morning for the men's breakfast. We had a good turnout.
Pat Gosser and I have the grand opportunity of meeting and crossing paths with all walks of life. And over the last couple of weeks, with a client at a local hotel, I had occasion to meet a young lady who was expecting her first child, and she had a little girl, Penelope, and Penelope was born with a tumor on the part of her head. So if we would all be in prayer this week for Penelope. Thank you.
I just want to thank the Lord for my strength and the ability to go and do what I need to do when and where I need to do it.
Sally Williams is now in her new home, and she can walk to church. It's a long way to walk up here, but her daughter promised that they would come at some time to visit us again.
Let us bow for prayer. Dear God, on this Sunday that we celebrate the Pentecost, the coming of your Holy Spirit, we pray that your Spirit would be in this place and in our hearts. We pray that the fire of the Holy Spirit would bring us strength to do your will, wisdom to understand what you have called us to do, and comfort when in the course of life we meet challenges and the hardships that make us become tired and sometimes frustrated and confused. We pray that the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives would increase our faith and grow our love. And we pray that it would spark from here in this body of believers and reach other people in our community, in our families, in our world. We pray it not only for us as a congregation, but for the whole church, everywhere where people gather in your name. We are thankful because you have forgiven us, because you have called us out of a meaningless life into your purpose for us because you have promised us heaven, because you have promised us love. We pray that when we turn away from these things, you would gently restore us. We're thankful for the young people that are participating in the worship service today. We're thankful for the calling that you have given to each of them, the purpose that you have for each of their lives. We are inspired by their achievements and by their faith, and we pray that you would continue to grow it and to nurture it throughout all their lives, as you do for the rest of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Our song of meditation is number 581, Sweet, Sweet Spirit. Shall we stand together and sing?
The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where we were sitting. They saw what seemed to be like tongues of fire that separated and came on the rest of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in each other's tongues, as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews for every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all of those speaking Galatians? How is this that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Medosianthia, Judea and Colossia, Pontius and Asia, Phrygia and Cilicia, Asia and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Grecians and Arabs, were near them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They had too much wine." Peter addresses the crowd. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will see dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in heavens above and signs of the earth below. Blood and fire and billows of smoke, the sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood. Before it coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved."
Let us pray. O Lord, as we come to this preached word, give us eyes to see anew, ears to hear afresh, a spirit to be warmed, and heart to be transformed, so that we might not leave this place ever the same. In Christ's name, amen. Liturgy, homiletic, sacrament, ecclesiology. All of these big words have many things in common, and one of them is a relationship in importance within the context of the Christian faith. These words that make up part of the Christian vernacular are seemingly all around us, and not just in our worship services or in our daily study. Christian language, or church lingo, if you will, all of these have become so mainstream that it's sometimes hard to make out what people are attempting to say when they use these words. And so I thought, instead of your traditional Pentecost sermon that you may have heard countless times over the years, allow me to think about this moment through the using of this church lingo. The writer Philo of Alexandria penned these words in his work, and it may seem a little familiar to your ears. "God commanded that an invisible sound should be formed in the air, and bestowing form on the air and changing it to a fire red flame should give forth a sound like a breath of air. Then a voice resounded from the heart of the fire that descended from heaven, filling all present with a reverent tremor as the flame transformed itself into articulate sounds that were familiar to the hearers. Now Philo wrote these words when describing God's descent upon Mount Sinai in Exodus 19, but these words can easily be used to describe the events here in Acts 2. And so as our text opens up, we find the contingent of the Jesus movement, or the Jesus group, gathered in Jerusalem for a special event called Shavuot, also known as Pentecost in the Greek and in English as the Feast of Weeks. It is a Jewish holiday during which the festival takes place 7 weeks after Passover, and its purpose was to offer new grain to God. And because of the way the calendar fell on this year, we were able and have the opportunity to be blessed to commemorate both the New Testament Pentecost moment during the actual Jewish holiday of Shavuot, which began yesterday evening and ends at nightfall tonight. As the text continues, it's reported that the sound that came forth from the heavens sounded like a violent wind, and just like Philo writes about, it sends tremors and shivers down one's spine. Now, I'm sure that there are some that have gathered in this room who have seen or been in the midst of violent winds during a storm. I'm sure that if you were to think back to those moments, I imagine that certain sounds stood out, or perhaps even the eerie silence that preceded the fierce roar from nature itself. When the sound passed through that room, you can imagine the range of emotional responses from those within. Some may have been startled by the violence of the sound, some overwhelmed by the sheer force of the sound, some trembling as they searched for the origins of the sounds. But in verse 3, Luke, the author of Luke Acts, tells us something quite strange that happened in the midst of this sound. We hear about this strange occurrence of tongues of fire dividing and resting upon each of those in the room. Now, obviously, when we speak about fiery tongues using church lingo, it's often related to passive fueled speech and rhetoric in a sermon, metaphorically burning down microphones with their quote-unquote hot takes. But the Spirit of God that now set upon each of their heads empowered them to speak with passion. Yes, the Spirit empowered them to speak in other languages. In a reversal from the Tower of Babel in Genesis, there is no longer confusion among the multitudes. Through the pouring out of the Spirit onto those in the room, linguistic barriers were removed, and as the Spirit enabled them, the group started to speak. So as many of you know, because this is Youth Sunday, over the past 2 years, the youth have experienced and participated in worship at various churches throughout the city of Delaware. Just to do a brief overview of this experience, it included seeing an inflatable kiddie pool during a youth sermon, playing musical instruments during worship, choral anthems of all varieties and lengths, and smiling for the camera in one worship. Sermons range from exorcism and the traditional turn or burn sermon that we're all familiar with, to calls of social justice and community building and restoration. Of course, some sermons were biblically sound and theologically strong, and others were quickly observed by the youth as nothing more than a hodgepodge of jumbled ramblings. And of course, for those of you that were here or have heard through the grapevine, there was a partaking of actual wine during one communion service instead of grape juice. Actual wine. Yet, throughout this ecumenical experience, although the styles of worship in many respects were similar to how we worship here at First Baptist, the particulars that are unique to each denomination or each culture stood out within the liturgy. The church lingo contained Within each worship stood out, yes, but the centrality of the message of God's extravagant love and unending grace was heard in every worship, in every church that was visited. So when we think about the church as a whole, it does not have a single language through which we worship, or at least not anymore. There are churches across the globe that, as we worship this morning, are worshiping too in their own native language. They are worshiping in Korean, Spanish, Swahili, Greek, Igbo, Arabic, Dutch, Zulu, English, and Portuguese, among many others. The church is gathered and the Spirit is being poured out in cities big and small, in rural and urban communities, in deserts, on islands, in nature, with nature, underground, in Gothic-like cathedrals, and even in the living rooms of people's homes. Yet what is constant among and across all of our native languages, no matter the location of our churches or communities of worship, is the words of God and the works of God. What continues to be heard, whether recited in Latin or the King's English, was the grandeur and wonders of God as passed down throughout the history of the church. What remains constant is that the amazing things that God has done is worth sharing, no matter in what form or language we might speak. And sometimes, if we can be honest, speaking about the amazing things that we have witnessed God do in our lives might sound like drunken old tales to those who watch and sneer from a distance. Telling the world about the nature and work of God sounds like a foreign language to many ears, even if we're not using the King James Version of the Bible. To them, some of the things that we say don't make sense from a logical or scientific or rational standpoint. They can't be repeated in a laboratory or used as a control test for further experimentation. But the reality that what God does cannot truly be understood. We can try to figure it out as much as we possibly can, but in the end, as the old wisdom saying goes, God works in mysterious ways. Sometimes what God does doesn't make sense to those who aren't familiar with what God has done. And sometimes what God does doesn't even make sense to us who know who God is and the church that God has called. The section concerning the Holy Spirit and the Apostles' Creed, one of the many compilations of church lingo that is universally known and that we experience in several churches over this ecumenical excursion, begins with the line, "I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church," and continues on. Now, while many Protestants use the creed in whole as part of a sacramental liturgy, the line has always stood out to me because it recognizes the universal, the broad reaching of the church across the globe. It also stood out to me because, as a young child, I always thought, if I say these words, am I going to be a Catholic? And then I thought, well, the Reformation happened, so it's kind of we broke away from the Catholic Church. So I guess we technically still have a little bit of Catholic in us all. Yet the Jewish individuals who were observers and participants in the story, although having taken up permanent residence in Jerusalem, represent their countries of origin in this passage, the native populations, and their native dialects. For Luke, this list that's found between verses 9 and 11 were places where many Jews would have inhabited in the first century CE, represented the universality of the church that was envisioned. This was a representation that gave honor to the God of Israel. And so imagine with me the conversations that took place within this confusion among the crowds. "We Parthians, are we not hearing the great deeds of God in our Parthian tongue? How can this be? We Arabs, we too are hearing the great deeds of God, yet in our Arabic tongue. I did not know that they knew our native tongue. We Romans, we hear the great deeds of God in our Latin tongue. We Medes, we hear the great deeds of God in Aramean tongue. Each of those who had come to Jerusalem for the festival, some having come from a great distance geographically, and some who have been away from their native homes for extended periods of time, heard the language that reminded them of home. So too is the life of the church, where each of us come to embody our senses in what is familiar to our souls and our spirits. And so thinking about the confusion that happens in our own day, we Christians, are we not called as the church to free itself from man-made barriers and walls which restrict the gathering of God's children and to not hide behind them? We Christians, are we not called as a church to speak words of affirmation and love which will unite the church, not regurgitate outdated rules and regulations which continue to divide it? We as a church, we Christians, are we not called to speak the glory of God in a diversity of tongues, not restrict the glory of God to a single language or a cluster of languages? Are we as Christians not called to seek out the outcast, the lost, the marginalized, the intentionally abandoned, and to not perpetuate and contribute to the marginalization? Are we as a church not called to see one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, just as God continues to see us all the same on the inside? The church has been called to free itself from limiting the vastness of God in a variety of ways. And if you are paying attention to some of the more contemporary issues, free itself from limiting this vastness by using exclusive masculine lingo, a call that is strongly visible within the life of the church today. The Pentecost event was, for Luke, reminiscent of the prophetic words of the prophet Joel, to whom Peter quotes in his sermon that begins in verse 14, continues through verse 21, and indeed the rest of the chapter. Joel's prophetic words were understood to refer to an outpouring of the Spirit in the age to come, and the events that the crowd witnessed were the fulfillment of that prophecy. This was not a random occurrence, because fulfillment of scriptural prophecies are never done randomly. What happened on that Pentecost day brought forth the days when our sons and daughters will prophesy. When the Spirit filled that room, it brought forth the days when old men and old women will dream dreams, and our young men and women will see visions. When the Spirit filled that room, God promised to show wonders in the heavens and the earth. And so I take my seat with these words. Just like in that moment when that group of Jesus followers was forever changed by the outpouring of the Spirit of God, may our lives continue to be changed and transformed by that same Spirit. May our words and our actions embody the proclamations of the grandeur and glory of God and the wonders that God continues to show in the heavens and on earth. And may we shine in this world of ever-looming darkness with the Holy Spirit resting upon and inside each of us. And may we use our church lingo to transform this world of confusion. Let us pray. Radiant God, source of life, you've surrounded Jesus with your glory, and you come to us in penetrating blindness. May your light continue to shine through us, and may we be aware of the wonders in the heavens and throughout all of your creation. May we see our weakness and offer ourselves up to your grace and mercy. May we hear your voice speaking our names in our native tongues, and may we respond to the call you make on our lives. Holy Spirit, fill us with light and courage, and continue to make us your own. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our song of dedication is found in the Faith We Sing, number 2173, Shine, Jesus, Shine. Let us stand and sing.
Keep on silent. Amen.